your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back to the podcast. If you have been spending even a minute on the internet, then you have probably, like me, noticed that most business coaches and consultants are either promising to get their clients to six figures, 100K, or they're talking about seven figures, $1 million. But there's a whole lot of territory in between, right? And we all know that what gets you to 100 is not going to get you to the next level. But the next level is not a million. It's like 250. So why is no one talking about how to make 250? Well, I found someone who is. Today's guest, Laura Khalil, is a consultant who specializes in helping other female consultants get to 250. Well, I was super curious, like, why? Why are you talking about a 250 strategy when everyone else is talking about 100 or a million? So I was curious. But once we really got into the conversation, like, if you know me, you know I am almost never rendered speechless. But it actually happened during this interview because Laura was literally making my head explode with everything she was sharing with me. So I'm going to pull back the curtain here and tell you what you have to look forward to in this episode. One, why 88% of consultants top off at 113K and what she does differently. The fact that majority of consultants experience feast and famine cycles, while Laura manages to have a steady stream of business, working a whole lot fewer hours than her less well-paid peers. She introduces us to a different way of looking at scaling your consulting business. Why Laura thinks all marketing, at least most of it, is total bullshit, and what she teaches her clients to do instead. And she's got a really cool analogy about a flat tire that totally puts things in perspective. Today's mic drop moment from Laura Khalil is this. The secret to earning 250K as a consultant isn't a secret. You need to become highly referable. So I won't make you wait any longer for this fantastic conversation with my guest, Laura Khalil. Laura Khalil, you're finally here.
I'm here.
And we are going to talk about some very, very exciting things. I just want to go right to it. I know that you work with consultants and you are all about eliminating all the unnecessary nonsense, fuckery, marketing bullshit, feast or famine, and we're going to get into all of that. But I have to just cue you up and ask from the get-go, why did you decide to specifically focus on helping people get to 250K? What is it about that number?
Well, Diane, first of all, I'm assuming I can swear on this.
I already have. So yes, please join me.
Okay. I was like, knowing you, I feel like that's going to be fine. So, you know, a lot of people in the marketplace, when we start our own service-based business or consulting business, we'll talk about getting to $100,000 a year.
Yes.
That is a wonderful milestone. And it's an important milestone for business owners to hit. The next thing we'll see in the marketplace is people trying to convince you that you're going to make seven figures. So I noticed these two things. 100K and then $1 million. And what's really been missing in the marketplace. So I'm going to answer this from a few different angles.
Please.
First of all, we know that about 88% of women who are in professional services consulting, meaning they have their own business, consulting for companies, they top out their revenue. 88% top out their revenue at around $113,000 a year. So when we talk about, and when we hear about, oh my gosh, build a 100K business, that is the lowest bar we can possibly set because most women are going to hit it. But why do they top out at 113? What is that about? And what's going on there is that we see people typically exchanging time for money.
Mm-hmm.
And typically somewhere in my, what I see with my clients is somewhere between 80 to 140K, they run out of time. And that's yes. why that number is stuck. So the average is about 113. Okay. So why 250 to your question? And why not a million? Why not 750? The reason for that is because what got you to 100K is not what's going to get you to 250.
Correct.
And what gets you from 250 to 5 to 750 to a million, there are incremental steps and things you need to do in your business to rise to that point. And it is, in my opinion, absolutely bananas to assume that someone can go from 100K to seven figures. I feel like that's selling a fantasy. And I don't sell fantasies. I sell mm-hmm. reality. And I know that women can get to 250 in their business. Now, why 250? Because once we start to get over 200 and really into 250, that's when we start to get fuck you money. And fuck you money. You knew I was going to swear.
Oh, I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting with bated breath. I'm like, come on, Laura.
It was too long of a preamble to getting to the fuck you. But 250 is really where we start to get fuck you money. And what's exciting about that for women is we really, at that point, truly begin to rebalance the scales of financial justice in our favor, which is my mission, and to really begin to put our money where our mouth is and affect our communities, capitals, and classrooms. There's nothing wrong with a bake sale.
Preach.
First of all, I know nothing wrong with a bake sale, but you want to see big change happening in your schools. You want to see big change happening in your communities. That takes money. And we know from the research that women give more often to philanthropic yes. causes, but because they don't have as much economic freedom, they don't give as much as men do. So imagine a world where we as women are running successful businesses, where we're no longer trading time for money, where we are making that beautiful 250, we're approaching that fuck you money, and we are finally saying, fuck the bake sale, I'm going to go put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to fast track change. And Diane, that's why I do it, because it's achievable, it's realistic, and women can get there in the next year.
I feel like I want to join your church because you are preaching. You are preaching from the money profitability pulpit that I yeah. definitely want to stand up and sing from that hymn book. But I got to roll back just a little bit because I know that there are questions coming up in my mind, and that means they're coming up in the minds of my listeners as well. Mm-hmm. I want to know, Laura, why you think you're a smart lady and you study this shit. Mm-hmm. Why do you think so many of these online marketing gurus, celebrity coaches, consultants, yeah. yada, yada, why they have been hitting this six figure? Because usually you refer to it as 100,000. I mm-hmm. seem to notice that it's always six figures. And first mm-hmm. it was 6 months to six figures. And then somebody came out with 6 weeks to six figures. And all of a sudden, like, we were all being culturally conditioned
yes.
to believe that six figures was the benchmark. And if we reached it, that meant we were making it. We were mm-hmm. crushing it. We were, in fact, successful. But nobody was talking about revenue versus no one was talking about profitability. Mm-hmm. They were just talking about hitting that number. Why do you think that number was the number? And why do you think we all drank that fucking Kool-Aid so readily? And then all of a sudden, people realized, actually, if I'm using Facebook ads or I have a team, like, that doesn't go very far.
It's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money.
So then all of a sudden, seven figures. So I want you to kind of walk me through how you think we all sort of got brainwashed to that so successfully?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, as I said, it's not that hard to hit. So hitting 88% of women are going to hit that number, if not more.
In specific types of businesses?
Correct. In service-based businesses.
Okay.
So they know it's a number they can sell. Mm-hmm. They know that you probably can get to it.
The marketers we're talking about.
The marketers know that. They also know that in most cases, it's not going to require a huge level of personal transformation to hit 100K. Most people can hit it. The challenge, and Diane, you and I know this, is that all business problems are really personal problems in disguise.
They certainly are.
So getting into the mindset of going from 100 to 250 is a big and at times uncomfortable shift that people have to make because they realize they're worth more. They then have to step into that worth. They have to communicate that worth. You can do 100K and have 10 clients at $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
busting
social
your ass, working nights, working weekends, doing your own post. Yeah, you can.
You can do it.
You can.
And a lot of those folks, you know, people teach what they've learned, right? So a lot of the folks who are doing the 100K thing are only familiar. They're only familiar with selling relatively low ticket services.
Mm-hmm.
What are
we calling low ticket, Laura?
In terms of a consulting contract, I would say anything under 10K.
Okay.
That's pretty low for consulting.
To businesses or to individuals?
To businesses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's very low. Very low. So think about it this way. Diane, imagine that you and I, we walk into a building in Manhattan, a big skyscraper, and we see it, we're on the ground floor, and we see the, you know, the building across the street in front of us. We see the taxi cabs. We see, you know, the people walking around. We see what's right in front of our face.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to you, I want to show you something. And I have this key. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to this elevator that's around back. Mm. And we're actually going to go up to the 96th floor. And when we get up there, we're going to see all of Central Park. We're going to see the horizon. And you're going to see how big the scope of the opportunity truly is.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the 100K internet marketers is they're pretty much still on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
They actually really don't know what it takes to get to 250, 5, 750, a million. So they just show you kind of what's right in front of your face, 3 feet away, instead of showing you the world is so much bigger and it's so much easier to make money than you think is possible.
If you have a different perspective, a different vantage point.
Yes. Now, one of the things I often tell my clients, and I want to break this down, but self-worth plus your worth to other people equals your net worth.
Correct.
So self-worth, everyone has this, we are all equally worthy. Equally. However, most individuals don't truly own their self-worth. They don't really believe they deserve it. So when I talk about self-worth, you are innately worthy. You are innately deserving of these wonderful things. But do you actually believe it?
Especially women, Laura. Don't you agree?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because of the way we are socially conditioned from birth to think we're not pretty enough, we're not thin enough, we're not smart enough, we're not sexy enough, we're not good enough partners, wives, mothers, you name it.
The biggest lie women have been sold is to obsess over calories and fitness routines to distract them from really obsessing over wealth generation, community transformation, and civic responsibility. It is the biggest lie we have been sold. And there are so many women, and I've been a victim to it, Diane. It's happened to
naturally.
Me. We just spend our days focused on how many calories am I eating? I look terrible. I need to go to the gym. I need to do this. That's a huge distraction from the things that actually matter when you are in this one precious life on this planet. And it's a powerful social conditioning that we have It's hard to overcome that.
I talk about this all the time, and it's absolutely true. I mean, because women are generally social creatures and generally more attuned with empathy and connection and communication and giving a shit about others, we may be, unfortunately, more easily conditioned by those who do not necessarily have our best interests at heart. And it makes so much sense to say, okay, you already know how to count things.
Yeah, right.
Let's just switch the focus from counting calories and counting numbers on the scale to counting business,
$100 bills,
income, yeah, profits, mm-hmm, and contribution to the causes, yeah, you care about, because you already have the skill. We just need to transition it to where it's going to have a lot more bang for the literal and proverbial buck.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah. Now, I'm going to guess, Laura, that you must have gone through this transformation yourself,
uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah,
to be able to speak about it so passionately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I try not to work with people or even, you know, highlight people on this show who are not walking their talk. So can we talk a little bit about your personal journey of transforming your own perspective about what's possible?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought it up, Diane. So when I was 27, I was married. Mm-hmm. I got married when I was 22. My husband took care of everything. I know this is hard for most people who know me to believe, but I was pretty much like a little housewife. I was deeply bored. I did not feel that I was using my skills and knowledge to the best of my ability, but everything was taken care of for me until one night when his family tried to attack me. And I had to run out of that house. Mm. There was a lot leading up to that, but it was ultimately the moment when everything changed. I ran out of the house. I had no money. Mm-hmm. I was living on friends' couches for 6 weeks. All my credit cards were cut off by my husband, you know, because he knew that was how he would keep me.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, that was the first lesson, which was if I really put all of my financial power in, give it to someone else, mm-hmm, I am always beholden to them.
Sure.
I have, you know, it colors all of our arrangements with people. So I started, I ended up moving to San Francisco. I worked in the field of technology. My last full-time job, I was working like a dog and I was really unhappy. And I, you know, nobody ever talked about salary. Nobody ever talked about money. And I spoke to a colleague of mine, and her husband was in the same type of work that I did for a different company. And he said, well, what are you making now? And I said, well, I'm making about 85 grand. And he looked at me.
In San Francisco. That's
in San Francisco. Pennies.
A bartender makes more.
Right. Pennies. Yeah. And he said, Laura, there should be a one in front of that. I was actually being underpaid by $100,000 and I didn't even know it because I was too scared to talk about money. And you can imagine, Diane, how pissed off I was to learn this.
Great energy source, that anger, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I was real angry. And so I ended up leaving that job and I said, you know what? I'm going to try my hand at running my own business because I think I can do this better.
And because you're probably going to get exploited by someone else who hires you. Bless that man.
I know.
For being the one. I mean, there's so, I just want to make sure we don't miss any of the little nuggets here. There's so many wonderful lessons there. And this actually reminds me of a story from another friend who's been a guest on the podcast, Melanie Lockhart, who deals with money issue, money mindset, has written a book about it. She also found out that she was being grossly underpaid by a man who said, well, this is what I charge, and I essentially do the same thing that you do. Yeah. And of course, she was livid and incensed. I don't think women are culturally conditioned to talk about money. This goes back decades, generations, I'm sure. It's considered unladylike,
right,
inappropriate, unprofessional.
It's a faux pas.
Because Because I study this too, Women in Confidence. There's a wonderful book called The Confidence Code.
I know
it. Say, I'm sure you do.
Fabulous
they say
book.
That men almost always negotiate salaries and women rarely, if ever, do. So my daughter is interviewing for a job right now, and that's part of what I'm helping her with is how to negotiate for salary. I didn't know to do that.
Yeah. And it makes such a big difference down the road.
Oh, goodness. Because we think, well, I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be demanding. I don't want to be the big old B word. So if I come in, if I come in a little more humble, a little more gracious, and they see how good I am, I will be able to make it up later. Actually, numbers don't lie, although we do to ourselves all the time and are encouraged to continue. You will never be able to make it back if you come in too low.
That's right.
That's not opinion. That's
a fact.
Proven fact. But wow, what a gift to you that this man said. And then of course you got mad. And when we get mad, we get motivated. And so you decided to bet on you. Probably one of the best decisions you've made.
The best. Again, it was, you know, going back to my marriage and leaving, it was the second time I really had to make a major decision about choosing myself.
Yes.
And I encourage everyone, women in particular, to choose yourself first over all the other people in your life that you've been told are more important than you.
Yep.
So I did. I chose myself. And here's the funny thing that happened. I had been penalized repeatedly within the corporate world for being too much. I was the bitch.
Yep.
I was the one who was too opinionated. I had a PIP, the performance improvement plan, for those of you who don't know, given to me where it actually said I needed to be nicer to the men in the boardroom and smile more.
Oh, resting bitch face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was 15 years ago when you could still talk to a woman like this. But it was, I realized becoming my own boss, all of the traits that penalized me as a full-time employee were my greatest assets as an entrepreneur.
Of course. Yeah.
So I started picking up really big contracts. I mean, they almost fell into my lap. And the first contract I got was a six-figure contract. I had it for 4 years working with one of the largest technology companies in the world.
And you've always been a consultant.
Okay. Always consulting. Okay. And so I'd go to these meetings. I was on time. I was on top of my shit. And the clients would say, God, it's just so great to work with you. We just, it's like, you know, the meetings are fun. They're interesting. And so I kept building rapport. Now, I still did not fully realize how big the market was. So I had,
you didn't have that key to the special elevator yet.
I didn't have the key. Like, I knew I was worth more, but I didn't really understand how much. And so I got that big contract. So cool. Like, I got that running in the background. I'm doing that. And then I talked to another huge company, one of the top five in the world. Okay. People can guess which one it is. Anyway, I am talking to them and they're asking me to give them a proposal to do some work. Of course, Diane, I have no idea what to offer. I don't have a mentor. I don't have a guide. I'm trying to figure this out. And I give them what I think is a big number. First of all, that's the first mistake. Not what you think is a big number. What is the right number? So I said to him, well, for all of that work that you've required, it was like a 6-week part-time gig. I said, for all that work, I'm going to charge you $15,000. And I'm just like on the other end of the phone, and I'm like not breathing, like so scared that he's going to hang up.
Pissing your pants. You're imagining you're taking the express elevator straight to hell for being so greedy.
Going down this time. And he says to me, oh, did you say 50? And I said, no, 15. Like, I was terrified.
Oh.
And he said, oh, everyone else has been quoting us around $50,000.
I would have shit myself right there on the spot. You said, oh, of course that's what I said.
Diane, that's why I wear diapers today.
Just in case. Oh, yeah. And that was another gift of and someone saying, this is, because what is he showing you? You know, if you're a man, we talk about how big it is or how big we want people to think it is. It's okay to talk about numbers. Women, if you just think about this, women are not supposed to say their weight, their age, or their income.
Is that interesting? Numbers are off the charts for us, except if we're talking about calories.
It's so crazy. Actually, you may not know this, but back in the day when they were trying to find a way to upgrade the Barbie doll, because she was always just this Barbie doll, just couldn't do anything, but you could put clothes on her. There was a point in time where they made her a talking Barbie.
Oh.
And what was she programmed to say? I shit you not.
Oh, God.
What was she programmed to say? Things like, I hate math. It's so hard.
Oh,
what the fuck?
Jeez.
Right?
So awful.
So
it's
even
awful.
The damn dolls that we gave our daughters to play with were indoctrinating us into that fuckery.
Yep. Terrible.
So what did you do? Did you get the 50? I'm dying to know.
No. So what happened was I got I was the best deal. I mean, I was the cheapest on the market. So I got the gig. Now,
it's an expensive lesson.
It was an expensive lesson. However, I did a good job. Like, listen, I was hungry.
Obviously.
I wanted to go and do good work.
You had something to prove.
Right. I did a good job. And what ended up happening is that guy was impressed with me. And he was also what I call a super connector. And I recommend you know super connectors. These people who will put you in touch. And if you don't, he referred me over $300,000 worth of work.
Oh, Lord.
So it was the short term result was not great. Long term, it was very good for me.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, I learned, but it was really when I learned, and I just want to say this again, it's not what you think is expensive to the audience. It is what the price is. The price is the price. The rate is the rate, typically based on what they think it's worth.
Mm.
The more impact the work you're going to have on your client and their business objectives, the more you can charge for it.
But we have got to close the gap between how women have been culturally conditioned to think of their worth at a much lower level than the market value of their services.
Right.
We've got to somehow extricate that whole self-worth nonsense, transform that so that we recognize the market value and what people are willing to pay to invest for the services you provide. That is the figure you need to train yourself to feel great about instead of needing to buy Depends.
That's the other option.
Wear the thong and feel great about the big ass contract. Like
That's my new motto. Wear the thong.
Wear the thong. Yeah. But the reality, I don't wear thongs anymore for the record, but but the reality is that it is what gets in our way. The things that you have broken down so beautifully are so clear to me. We don't know what we don't know. It is in the interests of the patriarchy and most of the marketing gurus at all who tend to be male. It is in their best interest to keep us in the not knowing camp.
Yep.
We need to take charge of our own financial literacy and our own self-awareness about the difference between self-worth and market value.
Yeah.
And then learn how to close the gap. But it will still only get us to around that 113,000 mark if we don't have perspective. Now, you had the combination of luck, pluck, and just determination.
Real perseverance.
Yeah. You got to have that.
You have to also, you know, in terms of the self-worth component, I think one of the biggest challenges that we can all face is we personalize feedback. We personalize rejection. Listen, everyone's going to fail. I just told like five stories about me failing. It happens all the time. You're going to be rejected. You're going to get critical feedback from people that may be hard to hear. And then what happens is what you do with that. If you internalize that and make that about you, or if you say, hey, this is coming from a respected and trusted source. We take feedback from people we respect and trust. And there's something here that I could really learn from. Or this has nothing to do with me whatsoever. It's their shit. Like, you have to know how to discern these things and not make everything so personal. The people who are the least successful on this planet take everything personally, and they are weighed down by everyone else's thoughts and opinions of them. And you have to stop caring as much about, I think Brené Brown calls it, the people in the cheap seats. It doesn't matter. The thing, the opinions that matter are from the people in your life that are helping you and invested in your success, not the people who are jealous and upset to see you growing. So know who you take feedback from, but learn how to just take it. Learn how to just receive it from people and be like, cool, okay, thanks. And that, you know, that's a huge issue. I mean, we see that a lot in consulting. People will get very tripped up when they have a difficult client conversation.
It's so true. And, you know, one of my areas of expertise is adult ADHD, as you know. And there is a component of ADHD that most people who have it, including myself, really learn how to get on top of and manage. And that is rejection sensitivity. Now, I'm not saying only people with ADHD are rejection sensitive. Creatives, you know, thought leaders, a lot of people, most of us, and most women, period, are sensitive to criticism and rejection. But I 100% agree with you, Laura, that if we could expand our perspective, get comfortable talking about the numbers that matter, learn to make criticism, rejection, any kind of negative feedback about the other person and something we can choose to use if it serves us and leave it if it doesn't, that will make a huge, 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 huge difference. But it takes work, doesn't it? I mean,
this is the inner work.
This is the inner work. It, you're reminding me of a book I'll link to in the show notes, and you're probably familiar, called The Four Agreements. The Four Agreements are basically, in a nutshell, be impeccable with your word, always do your best, make no assumptions, and don't take anything personally. Now, those last two, if you could even make a 10% improvement in not taking things personally and not making assumptions, especially when they're together, like, oh, this person doesn't like me, therefore I'm not cut out for this line of work, or this person said my price was too high, therefore I better lower my price. No, you better talk to a different kind of person. But women tend to interpret those things. I'm wondering, Laura, I know one of the things you talk about a lot that most consultants face, because I see all these folks on LinkedIn and elsewhere talking about how to get clients consistently. And I know you talk a lot about feast or famine, which there wouldn't be so many of these people talking about consistently getting clients, consistent lead gen, consistent client contracts and so forth. Do you think that this inconsistent flow, feast or famine, that most consultants and coaches get into is partly related to how they interpret failure and rejection? Or is it something more tactical, practical that they're not doing?
That's really interesting. I think there is a fear of growth. I think a lot of people, and I see it in my coaching program with my students, where if things start to move too quickly, they put on the brakes.
They get scared
and they put on the brakes. So one is honoring your personal ability to move at your rate. Okay. So I can tell you, I got to six figures in 6 weeks. That did happen.
Why didn't I see your coaching program?
Why didn't you see my program for that? Oh my God. Because I'm not, because that's my result. I can't promise that someone else who has tons of trauma around money, who doesn't really know what they want to do, who doesn't have a defined target market, is going to hit that goal. How could I possibly promise that? I can say, I did it. I can say, here are the steps to take. What baggage are you bringing along that's slowing you down?
Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz. And if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go, back to the show.
Now, looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And there, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Who I am is who I am, and I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means. No one is, but I'm freaking awesome.
Girl, I am loving you so hard right now because this is exactly, I mean, we have a lot of the same complaints about celebrity coaches and gurus and so forth, because they treat it like a cookie cutter thing that anyone can do.
Yeah.
But trauma.
Right.
Of all kinds, money baggage,
yeah,
past successes and failures, and our own perception of worth.
And what we think we are capable of.
What we think we can sustain, because this is something I see in my business as well, is even if we allow ourselves to believe we can reach a certain figure, there's a lot of people that believe that if I get there, it'll be a fluke, or I don't have what it takes to sustain that, which is so, I think, absolutely, I just realized this. It's just like weight loss. The number of, oh my God, I just had such a poo, you know, like we always think about trying to reach our ideal weight as this never ending story, which is why it's a multi-billion dollar industry. But it's like you hit the number, but then you can't hold the number. I wonder if we don't just automatically translate that over into how we feel about hitting income goals, because I see it with my clients, you see it with your clients. If they even think they can reach it, they don't think they can sustain it. Right. So feast or famine in our marketing efforts, our lack of consistency is absolutely going to keep bringing us the results that we consciously and unconsciously believe
we
can handle.
I love that, Diane. And I want to consider, I want the audience to consider something. And I know this is going to blow some people's minds. It's way easier to make 250 than it is to make 100K.
Say that again for the people in the back.
It is way easier to get to 250 than it is to get to 100K. At 100K, and here's why.
No, I got to pause you for 1 second.
Okay.
Are you talking about it's easier to go from zero to 250 than it is to go from zero to 100? Or are you talking about going from 100 to 250 could happen much faster?
I'm talking about going from 100 to 250. A lot of people are clinging to that 100.
Yes.
But they might have like 4 clients or 5 clients or 6 clients or 7 clients, and they're always in the feast and famine train.
Yes.
You can have 1 client at 250. You can have 1 client at 400. This is where people are thinking way too small. You don't need necessarily to have and be scrounging around for, I need 10 clients this month. Why? Why are you making yourself work so hard? What if you could have 1 client or 2 clients at that rate? But this is where they're keeping you, right? This is where these gurus are keeping you, is in these low ticket, under 10K contracts with people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which you're always going to be struggling to find people because it's really not enough money. Why not go after the bigger fish? Okay. People feel more comfortable staying with smaller fish, so to speak, but there's so much more money to be made when we go after larger contracts. They're often, while they can take longer to sign because you have to go through a vetting process with a company, the money's consistent. You are never going to have to chase down that money ever. I have never chased down money in the last decade from a major client because you're part of their process now. They're just going to pay you out. It's very simple. And you're making a lot of money doing one, what did we say? Greater impact, because you're impacting now millions of people. So it's immediately worth more and you're making more money. You know, why not think about that? Why not go after the larger contracts?
This is so fascinating because there's like, we've talked about all the people are like six figures. And then all of a sudden it's seven figures. And of course, as part of that conversation, because everybody eventually realizes you can get to 6 figures with hustle and grind, but hustle and grind is not going to get you to 7 figures because you need to delegate, you need to
systems,
all the thing.
Yeah.
Systems, all the thing. But we're not talking about those things, are we? And what we're talking about is grow and scale. So you literally can sell people your 6-figure program, and then you start talking about your 7-figure program. But what you have to put in the middle is grow and scale. What you are talking about, Laura, is growing your income, your impact, your ability to contribute and scale your pricing, not the number of people you serve or even the methodology you serve them in, from one-on-one to group to course
nor is it requiring you to hire a huge staff. So what we don't ever hear about, what people don't ever talk about, so I got to 250, guess who kept all that money, Diane? Me. Okay. I kept the money there because I don't have a giant staff. I don't need it. Now, I meet other entrepreneurs who are at 250, who are at 5, who are in service-based businesses, who are consulting. They've got 7 people working under them because all they're doing is little teeny weeny contracts. And I have to say to them, what's your take home on all of this?
Probably 113,000.
Yeah. If that, some of them don't even pay themselves.
I do know.
Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about scaling to 250 and now you need to hire 5 people to do the work. I'm talking about going after bigger contracts that you deserve to get because you have the expertise to do it. And by the way, before somebody listening to this says, oh, well, Laura, you must have worked for really big companies. That's the only reason they hired you. Wrong. I never worked for big companies before I got big contracts, ever. You don't need that. That is a lie.
You're talking about your pedigree. Like people think, oh, I have to go work for these really big names, even if they pay me dog squeeze.
Right.
Because that's how I'm going to be able to get those big ticket.
It's not true.
Contract. Fascinating.
It's not true. You don't have to have that background. People think I need another certification. This is all imposter syndrome.
Yes,
I need another certification. I need another degree. I need more experience.
No, you don't.
What you need, okay, so what do you need you need to become highly referable. You need a strong referral network. Referrals are the best way that the person who's referring you gives a transfer of trust.
Correct.
And that transfer of trust can close deals that could have taken months or years in weeks. Okay, because you're getting the trust that that individual has brought to you. And suddenly you're highly trusted. You didn't have to spend all the time building it. So learning how to become highly referable takes some work, but it can be done. That's how I grew my business. That's how I did it. It's the my quote unquote 6 weeks to six figures. That's how.
Is this the counterintuitive trick that you promised me?
Well, I did promise you a counterintuitive trick. So here's the deal, Diane.
Because this is not what everyone's talking about,
no,
Laura.
They're not,
and you
no.
freaking know that.
No.
Yes, this is the secret sauce.
This doesn't
have to be a secret.
It's not nothing on this planet is a secret. If anyone tells you, I have the secret to doing X, Y, or Z, please run in the other direction.
Yeah.
They are lying to you. It's not about knowledge. I mean, I'm going to share some knowledge, but it's really about embodying that knowledge that is going to change your world, not just hearing it. So everyone,
yes.
You've got to embody the knowledge. You have to live and breathe that knowledge. So my counterintuitive thing, everyone's saying you've got to have an Instagram, you've got to have a TikTok, you've got to do constant posting and X, Y, and Z. I got to six figures. I ran a $250,000 consulting business for multiple years since 2013 with zero marketing, zero email list, zero posting on social media. Everyone, just sit and consider that for 1 second.
Now it's time for me to shit myself, Laura.
Okay. That's why I sent you Depends before this whole thing.
Gift with purchase. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? And you are embodying it because you do have an Instagram. But what I see on your Instagram, girlfriend, is not buy this, buy that, hire me. I see you going to the frickin' opera. I see you buying a house.
Right.
I see you traveling.
I'm living my life.
You're having a frickin' life.
Yeah, I'm living my life. I'm having a lot of fun on this planet. And I share that stuff on Instagram because I'm a person who enjoys self-expression.
Yes.
But I also know that the GEs, the Intels, the General Motors, the Teslas of the world are not looking for you because you're dancing on TikTok.
Yeah.
That's not how they're going to find you. It's not how they vet prospective service providers. So when we hear this stuff in the market about using social media, I'm not against social media. If you like it, if you want to post, if that's fun for you, go and do it. It's not going to get you large consulting clients. I'm going to tell you that right now. That is not the way. But
nobody wants to see me dancing on TikTok or anywhere else. will not do anything for my reputation.
It will make you unforgettable, Diane. I mean, you already are. Let's be real.
That is true.
Can I say one more thing? I've got so much
you
to
must.
Say. I want to talk again more, a little bit more about this pricing thing.
Yes.
Because you said, oh, if someone thinks you're too expensive and then you think, oh, I have to lower my rate.
I see this a lot.
Okay. Here's the deal, everyone. You will always be too expensive for the wrong target market.
Indeed.
Always. Mm-hmm. I have a program. It's called Elevate. You know about it, Diane.
Yes.
We help women build consistent $20,000 months in their business. When I was selling this program, I would talk to people and the first time they'd hear the price, they'd say, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to find the money for that. I might have to put it on my credit card and pay it off over time. Do you stuff like that. And I thought, first time I thought, did I price this wrong? Mm-hmm. But I didn't change anything. Then I started enrolling people and I realized that all the people that were enthusiastically enrolling thought it was an incredible value, which it is.
Yes.
Were excited to do the work and had no compunction whatsoever about the price, which is when I realized that part of my marketing, part of what I was putting out in the world, was reaching the wrong audience.
Correct.
And so that's for everyone listening, that's not about me changing my price and me lowering my bar. That's about me saying respect to the people who are not yet ready for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to focus on the people who are. And I'm not changing things. In fact, the price for Elevate, we continue with each cohort and the success of the members to continue to rise the price because it's an incredible value. You know,
when is your next cohort? Because I want to make sure for people who are interested that we have a link in the show notes. Do you have a waiting list right
we
now?
We have a wait list.
The next cohort?
We have a wait list. You can go to, we'll put the link.
We'll put the link,
but there is a wait list. People can go sign up for the wait list.
Okay.
But my point is, if I listened and I'd taken the opinions of people who don't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we could charge $10 for it. Might still be too expensive for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing is you have to know if you have the right target market or not. And you have to have a problem, Diane, that solves what I like to call a flat tire. Do we have time to talk about this?
Yes, we must.
Okay. I want you to, this is what I see a lot with businesses, especially people who are in service-based businesses or consulting. I want you to imagine this happened to me in December when we had the Omicron variant was raging and all of the airlines were canceling flights around Christmas. I had a girlfriend who was trapped at the airport. Her flight kept getting canceled. I said, don't worry, I'm going to come pick you up. We'll go have dinner. We'll see what happens with your flight. Go into the airport, hit a freaking pothole.
And was there snow? You're in Michigan, so was there snow?
It was a snowstorm.
Of course.
It was freezing cold, and I hit this pothole, and I'm like, fuck.
Try fuck infecta.
That's right. So I pull over, right? I call AAA. And AAA says to me, are you in a safe place? I said, yes, I am. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, we're waiting for a tow, right? Like the next thing we need is someone to either fix the flat tire, mm-hmm. or if it can't be fixed, tow the car. And AAA knows this, but I want you to imagine if I called them and I said, oh my God, it's snowing, it's freezing out, I'm scared, I'm on the side of the freeway, it's dusk. And they said, okay, Laura, we hear you. We think we may know what you need, but first I want to ask you this. I'd like to tell you about our extended car warranty.
This reminds me of a problem I recently had getting cable service at our new house. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Listen, bitch, I know what I want. I know what I'm willing to pay. Please don't tell me about all your upsells.
Exactly. Imagine if you called them and they said, I want to talk about the extended car warranty. You say, excuse me, go fuck yourself.
Yes.
I don't need. Now, it doesn't mean. So for business owners who are listening, have you taken a moment to consider what the flat tire is for your prospective client, what they immediately need help with? It doesn't mean that I can't offer an extended car warranty down the road. But it means that if you want to get more clients and you want to get more clients quickly, you need to really stop putting the focus on me and what I want to sell and put the focus on them and what they desperately need solved right
now.
And if you can do that, you are ahead of 80% of people who are still selling what they want to sell without giving any consideration to what the audience desperately needs.
I'm also thinking, Laura, this is such a good story. Stories are such a great way to make things memorable.
Yeah.
Depending on who is in the car, what kind of car they have, and where they need to go now, that flat tire service could be worth anywhere from $500 to $500,000 or more.
Exactly. Imagine a flat tire at an F1 race. There's millions of dollars on the line to win that race. You better, like, assume, let's say I roll in on my little truck there going to go fix that tire. You better believe they would pay a premium to have it fixed with the opportunity to still win that race because there is millions of dollars at the end of the racetrack. You know, we all have experienced that. That's exactly why, for example, if you want to have a service provider come to your house, let's say to fix a leaking pipe or a burst pipe, God, you're just going to pay whatever you can. And if it's on Christmas or a holiday, God help you. because it's going to be time and a half plus holiday pay. And I'm not sort of saying, oh, we need to be advocates for price gouging. Not at all. However, we will pay a premium when we have a serious problem that needs to get fixed.
Because market value does not depend, going back to your earlier point, it does not depend on what you would pay or what you think it's worth, but what your ideal client
yes.
would pay, will pay, wants to pay mm-hmm. based on their needs.
And if you can 10x the results for an individual, and not just financially, but if you can 10x the results, it from financial results to physical benefits, to emotional benefits, to
relationship
benefits, even spiritual benefits. If you can say this, doing this is like, again, go back to the flat tire, peace of mind. I can finally get to the place where I was hanging out with my friend, that relational benefit. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer stressed. I can sleep at night. Yeah, I'm getting the tire fixed, but I'm getting all these other benefits. And if you can speak to clients in terms of those benefits and 10xing those benefits, your pricing is a no-brainer at that point.
Not only that, I realize as we're wrapping up, Laura, it makes complete sense that this model not only benefits from, but requires the referral basis.
Yes.
Because people who have a lot of responsibility, mm-hmm. people who are in positions of influence, wealth, power, however you want to think about it, need to make decisions quickly because mm-hmm. time is money and they know that better than anyone.
Yeah.
They are not going to open up their app and start scrolling. They're going to call a trusted advisor,
exactly.
confidant,
who
colleague,
do you know?
Friend,
yep.
mentor.
Mm-hmm. On that person's list.
And
exactly.
You need to
know the trusted advisors.
On that person's list.
And that's really the name of the game here. So we're not playing, and there's lots of games we can play. We can play the 100K game. We can play the Instagram Reels game. If you want to do that, go ahead and do that. That's cool. I don't want to play those games. I want to play a different game, which is called It's Who You Know, getting them on the phone, getting referrals, making a shitload of money and impacting your community. That's the game I'm playing. And this game, I will say it again, making 250 is way easier than making 100K. It is way easier. Just got to know how.
I am so rarely speechless.
Yeah, it's way easier.
But I'm speechless. Everything that you've shared, first of all, you're delightful and I adore you, but this conversation has literally blown my mind. I am so Same. Grateful to have this conversation. I'm so grateful to have a relationship yeah. with you. I definitely want people to look into Elevate because, you know, I'm going to tell you a quick little story before we go. I was sharing this with a mentor recently and she was saying, so why do you help the people that you help? Like, why do you decide? Because I often say I'm not for beginners and I regularly turn people away that want to work with me. It's not because I'm an asshole. It's not because I'm arrogant. It's because I'm very experienced and I know how to assess readiness. And someone may really, really want to work with me, but I know if they're ready or not. And if I don't think they're ready, I'm not going to invite them to be a client because
yes.
I'm only interested in creating incredible outcomes. And I think you feel the same. So she said, but how do you know this about yourself? And I said, well, I remember a few years ago, I didn't even know how important this was at the time.
Okay.
But I volunteered with a friend to work on a Spartan race. And I didn't want to sit at the entrance and hand out, you know, lanyards and water bottles. I didn't want to put the, you know, awards around people's necks when they finished. So I started walking the course thinking, what can I do? And what I gravitated towards and realized during this experience, this is why I coach the way I coach. And it just feels completely natural to me. I ended up at the second to the last of the obstacles in this obstacle course. And the mm-hmm. elite athletes, they would just scamper up the 30-foot rope to the top, flip over, kick the cowbell, and scamper down like a frickin' monkey, and then go on their way. There were people who would come running around the corner, take one look at what was required of them, and just say, hell no. And if you decide not to do an obstacle, you can go do 30 burpees, which is no easy thing. So they did that. There were some people that would try, but there was no way they were going to make it. And so then they would have to do the walk of shame and the burpees. But there was a small number of people, maybe about 5% of the total, who were exhausted. This is the 18th of the obstacles. They're almost done. They're so exhausted. But they got like 70 to maybe 80% of the way up that rope. And their emotional, physical, mental strength just gave out. And they were just hanging there.
Wow.
They couldn't go further, but they would not back down. I grabbed
a
bullhorn out of someone else's hand. I don't remember asking if I could. I didn't. And I literally made eye contact with each of the five people that were stuck up there. And I called out to them one at a time. I wasn't even a coach then. This is years ago. I was still a therapist. But I recognized all the effort that went into getting that far and the anguish of not being able to go further. I just felt compelled and totally inspired. And I spoke to each of them in a different way. Total strangers. Didn't know him, never saw him again. But I just felt so inspired and also so connected to the struggle of working so hard and getting so far, but not far enough. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably that have 5%. A lot of the same traits in this way. But
I love
realize
that.
Those
and,
are my people.
Diane, I just want to say this is really interesting because I talk a lot about with my clients what I call finding the perfect slice of business, in that you don't need the entire pie. You just need the right slice. Your right slice was those 5% of people. And that's more than enough. And it actually differentiates you from everyone else in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like,
I don't like the crust of the pie. I don't like the pie crust. And I don't like most flavors of pie.
I love
like
rhubarb.
The pie that very few people like. Yes. I actually like pie like rhubarb, but most people like gross. Do you? Okay. We're friends for life.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Okay, do you feel about pistachio ice cream?
Okay, this is like the after
but
hours.
But you don't love it.
Of the podcast. Here's the deal.
But we're going to leave this in.
Let's leave this in for sure.
Really.
It's not.
Unless it's really obscene.
We're not
because people always want the blooper reel and the backstory. It's the backstory.
When I used to live in France, and there you find it sometimes here, but there they have flavor that is everywhere called rum raisin. You know this.
Oh, my husband's German, so he introduced me to that. Yep.
Rum raisin is basically raisins soaked in rum, put in vanilla ice cream. It is the most delicious thing. I just love it. You don't really see it here that often, but that's really my sort of
that's your jam.
Yeah. Beyond that, I go immediately octogenarian to butter pecan. I want to be in
octogenarian. Well, you've got the depends, so you're just like that's
I'm
the
living
vibe.
That's my vibe. I got the depends. I have the butter pecan. Me and all the people in the nursing home, we are kicking it, and I'm thrilled with it. Listen, live your life.
And be generous. This is the last takeaway before we go. I realized that when women have more than enough and they have the opportunity to be generous, the world changes. We need to help more women make more money so that they can change the world for the better.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. You are amazing. And I want everybody to follow you. Tell them about your podcast because I'm sure they want to hear more from you and listen to that. And what we're going to link to Elevate. Mm-hmm. We will link to your podcast. I want you to tell them the name of that. And what is your favorite social media channel for people who really do want to find you there as well?
Of course. So my podcast and company is called Brave by Design. we're having Diane on. We have a lot of amazing women and men. We have some cool men who show up to really talk a lot about the might.
They are the brave ones.
They are the brave ones. Get it?
They must be brave.
We talk a lot about the mindset stuff there because ultimately, like I said, a lot of business problems are really personal problems in disguise. So we have a lot of experts like Diane and others come on to talk about reframing mindset to be more successful. And if you want to catch me, LinkedIn is the best place. To be perfectly honest, go find me, Laura Khalil, on LinkedIn. You can also find me on Instagram at I Am Brave By Design. I'm going to be honest, I'm not on there that much just because, you know, not my jam.
Yeah, but when you are, it's because you're living life and sharing it because you're not working every freaking second for too little money.
No way.
So
yeah.
Boom.
So I Am Brave By Design on Instagram or Laura Khalil on LinkedIn. And you can go to bravebydesign.net to learn all kinds of stuff about the work that I do.
Yes, ma'am. All right. That's a wrap, folks.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.